If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Are you ready?
Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
DJ Nation fam, what is up? What is happening? It's the DJ Nation podcast coming at you live or back on your recorded airwaves. You know how we do it. DJ Nation podcast powered by the Fantasy Authority. You can follow the Fantasy Authority on Twitter and X at FF_authority. Ryan Williams here. You can find me on Twitter and X at RyanAlexander_W. And I'm joined as always by the godfather himself, Mr. Kevin Steele at Fantasy Route 13 is where you can find him on Twitter and X. Kev. We got DFS week 7 picks to break down for the people. How you doing this week?
Feel good. I like this slate a lot. I think there's multiple different ways to go on this slate. So this week we have some high priced quarterbacks to talk about, where I feel like the last 2 weeks it's been like, you know, pay down at because really wasn't anybody worth playing at the top. So, I mean, this week, you know, you have some guys to talk about there as well. You have some really high total games, like the Cowboys games up to like 55 points with the Commanders. And then you also have a couple other games that look pretty good too. So I really like this slate.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, it's different than any other slate that we've had yet, Kev. I think there are some clear ways. We talked about it pre-show. There's some clear ways that I think people are going to go just right off the bat. You know, we're 6 weeks in, we're heading into week 7. People and players start to feel like they have a grasp on how things are going to go. We start to feel like we can predict the way that these games are going to go. We can predict the narratives. We can, you know, sit back on a Monday morning quarterback and just know that all of our plays popped off. But we know that is not always the case, yet we will have a ton of chalky plays that form. And when we look at the slate, Kev, I really think that it starts and ends with this game in Dallas, you know, between the Washington Commanders and the Dallas Cowboys, with this total being one of the highest totals, Kev, that I can remember seeing, you know, at the start of the week when it was 54.5. You know, I think we had a game this past week. I want to say it was maybe the Monday night game, the Atlanta game, that got off to a hot start. And I think like the live line ended up being like 60.5 or 61.5, something crazy. But like, we just don't see totals like this all that often. And so when we get a game like this, you know, you can tell that ownership is just going to flock that way. I mean, you don't have to be you don't have to be in the weeds. You don't have to be in the Sims or Optos to know that Jaden Daniels at 6,900, you know, is going to help you to do a lot, you know. And then on the other side, you got Dak Prescott, who's not that expensive as well either. And we don't have Josh Allen and the Bills on the slate. We don't have the Detroit Lions and their high powered offense on this slate. So it's going to be real interesting to see where build starts. I think that's like the starting point, Kev. You know, we got like almost like a core slate in baseball coming out to us right now with the state of the slate in week 7. And before we even dive into quarterback, Kev, I just want to know, like, what are you doing with the Washington and Dallas game? Are you attacking this first and foremost, or are you going to let the other games kind of come to you, as we are talking on the Thursday, right before the Sunday slate? So we still have some time to narrow things out.
I mean, I know all the ownership's going to come here, you know, this feels so much like, cause it used to be like the, you know, the, the Saints, like I think you mentioned, like the Saints games, like this is exactly how, like, I feel like all of them were, like, with when it was Drew Brees and stuff like that there, and like those games were always like heavily owned, and that's what this feels like. Either you go all in on it or you fade it. Like, I think there's no in between, because either this game is the have to have a game of the week where you had to have all the plays for this game, or it duds out. It doesn't turn out to be the way that people think, and then you know you gain huge leverage off the field. It is tough because, like, just how bad the Cowboys defense is, it feels really hard to see a spot where that this game actually fails. But it is a divisional game. You know, divisional games sometimes get a little bit weird as these teams know each other a little bit better. So, like, it definitely could fail. And, like, there is other games. Like I said, the Colts and Chargers game is a 48.5-point total. Obviously, it's not a 54.5-point total. Obviously, there's a difference there. But, like, that game has the recipe as well to be a shootout. And we'll talk about it when we get over there. But, like, that is the other game that I think that you really realistically can look at is that has shootout potential.
Yeah, I do like the way that game's shaping up, and we're getting a lot more pieces locked in on that game as well too, Kev, as we get closer to the weekend and we get more injury reports coming out, more practice happening, and so definitely some fun things to monitor there. But yeah, DJ Nation fam, you know, we're coming at you. We're going to break down these week 7 picks as we always do, position by position. And let's start, you know, at the quarterback position again. You know, kind of mentioned at the top, we've had a couple slates with Josh Allen being on there. We don't have that this week. And so you do have Patrick Mahomes at the top at 7K. And Patrick Mahomes has just been wheeling and dealing. I know Kev out there in KC land, you know, they're loving what they're seeing from him, because he hasn't kind of had this hot start to a regular season in quite some time. And even though the record isn't without some blemishes, we can tell that Patrick Mahomes has just been lighting it up. And he gets some weapons back this week as well. One in specific, and Rashee Rice coming off a suspension, which makes him, you know, very enticing to stack with against this Raiders team. And these Raiders games have kind of been weird over the past couple of years. You know, very exciting. The Aiden O'Connell, you know, Brock Bowers game last year was interesting, and just always feel like these teams kind of play each other pretty well. So that's definitely going to be a point for people if they're not going to the Washington and Dallas game, getting to Patrick Mahomes. I will say, you know, as underpriced as Jaden Daniels feels at 6,900, and he could be getting his, you know, F1 back, Terry McLaurin back as well. The spot really shapes up for me, Kevin, trying to attack it through the Dallas side and Dak Prescott. I think he's real interesting here. You know, I kind of talk about it from my standpoint. I love playing the Dallas side when they're at home. We haven't had Dak at home in a bit, and, you know, CeeDee Lamb possibly being back makes it interesting, because George Pickens has kind of been that dude, right, in his absence. And so with them priced right around each other, it's like, who do you stack Dak with? And then, you know, I feel like people are a little bit weary to try and guess with him. And then Ferguson being back, does he take a back seat? But at only 6,500, if he can spread the wealth around, and if this game is really competitive, I really do like the upside of Dak Prescott. So if I'm playing that side of the, or if I'm playing that game, I really like the Dallas side of the game more over the Washington side. And then, you know, I think it is kind of wide open when we consider things. And, you know, I'll kind of toss it to you, Kev, after I allude to the fact that I'm going to have some Jalen Hurts this week. I think the Eagles are in get shit right mode. They're coming off of two really tough losses. They get to go against this Minnesota team who's actually, like, you know, as stout as we think this defense is with Brian Flores, like, they've actually given up some points in bunches, and they're just coming off of a trip, you know, overseas, and now they get to be at home. But they're, you know, it's also an enticing matchup, I feel like, for this Eagles side to have them get going. And we've seen, like, I mean, the floor of Jalen Hurts, sure, you can look at that KC game where he only puts up 11.5 and, you know, not able to get things right. But I think they're able to right the ship. The stack options for Jalen Hurts are absolutely ridiculous this week. Like, AJ Brown is 5,800, Devonta Smith is 5,600, like, Saquon Barkley Barkley is only 7,700 to be able to play them both together. Like, nobody's thinking about this Eagles offense. And this is one, like, just a couple weeks ago that we thought could put up, you know, 30 points on anybody. And they have two rough losses against the Broncos and the Giants, and people want to write them off. So I'm willing to get to Jalen Hurts and some GPPs. And then I do think, you know, my favorite cheap quarterback, I think, Kev, ironically, is not Caleb Williams, who's only 5,800, which I think is, you know, definitely an interesting matchup against the Saints. But I'm going to go to the Bo Nixwell. You know, I think this is another team that just coming off a letdown spot. Yes, they did travel as well, too, and we'll see how they do coming back at home. But Bo Nix in this offense, we've seen how things have been, you know, going. Recently, or at least early on the season for them. Love his rushing upside in this matchup against the Giants. You know, I think Cortland Sutton's going to shape out well for people this week. And you don't need to, you can pair him with Cortland Sutton and just be done. You don't need to really triple stack him or double stack him and still can get a lot of upside out of him. And I think he goes under the radar too, especially playing in that afternoon slate there. So for me, I think the three quarterbacks that really jump off the page are Dak Prescott, Jalen Hurts and GPPs and Bo Nix and GPPs. Do have some interest in Caleb Williams and Patrick Mahomes too. But where are you going for quarterback this week, Kev?
I think first and foremost, I love Justin Herbert. In this spot here. Had a nice bounce back spot last week against the Dolphins, completed 76% of his passes, 264 yards, two scores in that game. He also was encouraging to see him return back. He dropped back 38 times compared to the week prior to that against the Commanders, only dropped back 29 times. But I think what you really love about this spot here is it's a pretty predictable because this is a major pass funnel defense at the Colts. And so, I mean, if you just look at it so far this year, the Colts have allowed they're allowing over 250 passing yards per game to opposing quarterbacks. They're allowing the 11th most passing touchdowns to quarterbacks. So, and I mean, we just saw last week, we saw Jacoby Brissett and Zay Jones and Greg Dortch and Trey McBride, you know, go off for 320 yards and two touchdowns against this pass defense last week. So, I think Justin Herbert with Quentin Johnson, who's going to be back this week, is one of the best plays on the slate at $6,400 at home. And you obviously you have one of the best offenses in the league on the other side that's going to be pushing them. So, like, this team's going to have to throw the ball 40-plus times. And I think this is an elite spot. And like I said, I think if you're wanting to get different, I think this is the game to do it with. Like, this game has major shootout potential within it. And so I love Justin Herbert. He's one of my favorite plays on the slate. I think if people are going to be overlooking Patrick Mahomes, I think that is a massive mistake because Patrick Mahomes has been phenomenal. I mean, he has scored so far this year, really, I think outside of like one game, 31, 30, 27, 13, 23, and 26 DK points. And so, he's been probably, I mean, of the quarterbacks that are on the slate, like he's the best quarterback that on the slate. Like he's constantly producing. He's down. He's picking up stuff on the ground. You get a phenomenal matchup against the Raiders, who their secondary is atrocious. Also, obviously, you know, bearing the lead, but they're getting Rashee Rice back, obviously, for this game, which is something we've kind of all been waiting for. Just kind of opens everything else up. Like, we have literally never seen Patrick Mahomes with these weapons, like all these weapons on the field at the same time. We never have. Because going into last year, when you had Rashee Rice healthy for those first three games, Hollywood Brown was hurt. Xavier Worthy was just kind of figuring things out as a rookie. And then Rashee Rice gets hurt, you know, and then this year with second year Xavier Worthy, I haven't seen him on the field. It's with Hollywood Brown. So like, this is gonna be the first time we've actually seen all these guys together, and Patrick Mahomes having arguably his best year of his career. And then you get this matchup against the Raiders at home. So I think Patrick Mahomes at 7K, I think everyone's going to want to go to that Dallas game, and people aren't going to want to pay up for Patrick Mahomes. And I think that's a mistake. So I think Herbert, Mahomes, as far as the you know, Jaden Daniels and Dak Prescott spot on this, I'd probably just take the savings and go Dak Prescott. Like, Dak Prescott is also having a MVP type season so far. Like, he has put this team on his back, and he's the only reason they've won games this year is because of him. They lose CeeDee Lamb, they continue to put up a lot of points, and then now we get CeeDee Lamb back for this game. Which is going to be huge as well. So I would lean the Dak Prescott direction as well. as you mentioned, and then when it comes to like pay down quarterbacks, like there's really nothing that I'm like overly excited about to pay for this league. Like, I don't really love any of the matchups. Like, guess if you want to tell me a story about Justin Fields, like maybe he bounces back, but he doesn't have Garrett Wilson. So that really kind of concerns me. I think he'd have to get there, you know, rushing for over 100 yards, I think, for him to pay off. You know, I've heard people talk about Bryce Young, but Bryce Young's been fucking awful like this year. Like, even in these two games against the Cowboys and the Dolphins, like, it's basically been Rico Dowdle putting the team on his back. And he's been efficient, mm-hmm. you know, throwing some touchdowns. Like, the dude hasn't only thrown for over 200 yards once all year. And so, like, it's just – there's not a lot of ceiling there when it comes to Bryce Young. And then the other options, like I guess Spencer Rattler, like, if you want to get, like, really different. But, like, can he put up, like, a had-to-have-it score? Like, I don't think so. Like, the most he's put up is, I think, 21.7 DraftKings points against the Saints. And with the, some of the upside that's on the slate, like, I just don't think you really need to. Like, I don't think you need to go down and pay down at quarterback. Like, I don't mind Caleb Williams. But I also just wonder if this is a little bit more like ball control, run the ball, you know, not really open it up and throw the ball a ton. You know, Ben Johnson wants to run the ball. And so, like, that's what would worry me when it comes to Caleb Williams. So, again, I think I think I'll be paying up this week at quarterback, whether it's Mahomes, Dak, or Justin Herbert. Like, those are the three. And I don't mind Daniel Jones either. Like, you can also go there as well. Like, Daniel Jones has been really good too.
Yeah, I'm coming to – I might have to come around on Justin Herbert as well, too, with QJ being back into the mix. I mean, that game is really enticing, as you alluded to, the total there kind of creeping up. Makes it nice. And then, John, you know, that's a way to get exposure to Jonathan Taylor, right, at his tough price tag, which I know I'm jumping the gun there on running back, but, like, at him being 8,800, like, what does he need, you know, to be able to be that dude? You know, you want that competitive game, and you want him to be pushed on the other side so that they have to give him the ball, give him the rock. And so, yeah, I tend to agree with you on that, Kev. I'm going to have to look into that one. And then I agree with you on the Caleb Williams one too. It feels a little bit like it's hard to say chasey because like he really didn't like smash on the Monday night slate, but you know, things have just been clicking so much for this Bears team. There's a lot that goes into this, right? Like they're on their first, like, you know, three game win streak and however long, and Dennis Allen is coaching against his old team that let him go. And, you know, this could just be kind of an ugly game almost from both sides of the standpoint. Like, you know, the Saints offense hasn't shown us any type of semblance of being able to, you know, be involved in shootouts necessarily. And then, yeah, if they're controlling the game, like this could be like getting Kyle Manungai, you know, involved more, as we saw him coming out of the bye and getting more touches and, you know, saving DeAndre Swift. So it's, this one is a kind of definitely like, you know, I'm definitely going to be light on this one. And maybe have a one-off piece that we'll talk about later. But, you know, if I'm not stacking this game, it's probably going to be a void for me for the most part. Are there any other quarterbacks that you wanted to allude to, Kev, before we move on to running back?
Like, I think, you know, Drake May is always in play. But, like, again, it's kind of the same situation where, like, do you really think the Titans are going to be able to do anything to, like, push the Patriots? Because, like, I mean, Drake May has been awesome this year as well, but again, it just feels like the same situation. Like, there's not a ton of like great matchups, but I think the ones that there are on this slate are the ones that are, you know, easily going to define the slate. I think is kind of the way that I look at it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I will say, Gab, before we toss it over, like, I have looked into some Dylan Gabriel. I'm not gonna lie. At 4,400, the way that, you know, there's some cheap pieces there in Cleveland. Junkins is going to be popular. This Miami team is, like, so defeated. You know, to be able to get some studs in the lineup, I've played around with a Dylan Gabriel single and double stack. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, this dude's throwing, you know, if he can throw 50 times, I guess, in the game, and he could do that against Miami, who knows? But doesn't entice much confidence, but I do find it interesting that he's only, you know, that he's that cheap, and see what you could do with the lineup.
Yeah, but have you seen the weather for that game?
Yeah, right, winds, right?
I mean, we're not talking winds. We're talking I think it's like 30 to 35 mile an hour sustained winds with gusts up to 50 to 60 miles an hour. You can't pay any passing attack there. Passing games are dead. I had a lot of interest in Jaylen Waddle, but I have none now. It's Quinshon Judkins and Devon Achane, are the two. And honestly, Devon Achane, isn't as exciting to me because Cleveland's run defense is so good. And if you're so one-dimensional and you know you're going to be able to run the ball. Now, the Dolphins can't stop the run to save their life. The Dolphins' run defense has just been atrocious. Just been absolutely annihilated almost every game. And so, Judkins is, just a smash play in an environment where the Browns are already, 2.5-point favorites in that game. And it just sets up really well for Judkins.
Let's talk about the running back state of the slate, Kev, because I think, earlier on in the week, I felt like a little bit more confident in what Quinshon Judkins' ownership was going to be. And at 6K, I still think it's going to be pretty high up there. But we have this thing kind of brewing right now with the Jets and Breece Hall, the way that their offenses looked. And I think that Breece Hall is going to be one of the more popular running backs on the slate now at 6,300. And with them being so closely priced around each other, it makes for an interesting slate at running back. You have those two, kind of right there. Javonte Williams in that Washington-Dallas game, he's only 6,700, but I think people will sleep on him because he just let people down the week prior. You got the rookie, Ashton Jeanty. If you think that somehow that game stays close in Kansas City, Jacory Crosky Merritt, Bill, he's only 6,100. So there's a lot of mid-tier price running back value this week that I don't know that Judkins ends up being the popular play that was being thought of early in the week. But at 6,000, I mean, my gosh, how are we not just salivating at the and chomping at the bit to get this dude into lineup? So I'm curious to see where your head's at and starting point is at, because I want to pay up for running back. I do like Jonathan Taylor a ton, even though he is 8,800. This dude is just getting so much of the workload, and he's seeing target share now, Kev, four targets and a handful of games already this year that he's got two hat trick games already, three touchdown games, that is. And if we're seeing that workload from him, which it's hard to pass up on a slate like this where we could possibly get him in. How are you feeling?
Yeah, so I mean, I think in terms of the running backs on this slate, first I would just say that I don't have as much interest, I guess, as the top. I actually think Saquon could be interesting because Minnesota has struggled to stop the run this year, and so I don't mind Saquon at 7,700, but I think in reality to me, I think it starts at some of these other cheaper running backs because I think there's a lot of them on this slate. I already mentioned, Quinshon Judkins, regardless of the weather, this was already set up. I mean, the Dolphins are allowing 134.3 rushing yards per game, which is easily the most in the league. They're also allowing overall the fifth most DK points to the position. And then you have Jacory Crosby Merritt in that Dallas game. Struggled last week, wasn't nearly as good, but there was a lot to be encouraged by with him last week because of how much he played. He played 66% of the snaps, which was easily the season high. He also ran the ball 17 times, also played or ran 48% of the routes, which was also really encouraging because prior to that, he had never really been involved in the passing game. And we know this is a phenomenal spot. The Cowboys have allowed 110 rushing yards per game, 60 receiving yards per game, and over a touchdown a game to running backs, and are allowing nearly 30 fantasy or 30 DK points per game, which is third most to opposing running backs. So he's in a great spot. He's only 6,100. Yeah. Love both of them. Honestly, a little I don't know how much I will have of him. But if I am needing a couple cheaper running backs, I think there's a couple that are in play this week. One, I would say, is Ramondre Stevenson just against the Titans. Ramondre hasn't been great this year. Yeah. I'm not going to sit here and say that he hasn't. But he's still playing 70% of the snaps. Trevion Henderson's done nothing to take any snaps away from him. He's also the short area. He's also the short yardage and goal line back, which is obviously huge for this game. And the Titans have allowed the fourth most DK points to running backs this year. So I think Ramondre is definitely in play. And I another one that I think is going to be like less than 1% owned is Isaiah Pacheco. And I know Pacheco really hasn't done a whole lot this year. But so if you look, like there's been some correlation with Andy Reid kind of talking about wanting to get him more involved. And that's really what they've done. And I don't think because he hasn't really broken out, he hasn't really gotten anybody talking about him. But in week five, he handled 62% of the snaps and ran 41% of the routes. But last week, we saw a major jump again where he jumped up to 75% of the snaps and ran 70% of the routes. Like that is a massive jump for him. They are 11.5-point favorites, and it looks like he's now the workhorse. And if that's the case, like this sets up is also a good matchup. The Raiders have allowed the third most touchdowns to running backs at over 4.3 yards per carry against running backs this year. So I think Isaiah Pacheco is kind of an interesting – like I wouldn't go crazy. I think he's like a – I would have if you're playing like large field, you know, GBP type stuff. You know, I think, you know, having, I don't know, 10 to 15% of him, I think makes some sense because he's cheap. You know, it allows you to fit in some of the other guys. But, like, the role is expanding for him. And I just don't hear really – there's really – I haven't seen anybody really talk about it because he hasn't put it all together yet. He hasn't had that big game. So – If this role continues, I mean, that's a workhorse type role that you're going to be able to get from him. So I like him as kind of a sneaky play. And then you have the Rico Dowdle situation, right? Which everybody has been talking about this week, whether it's DFS, whether it's you know, redraft, whatever. Everybody's talking about this on X and, you know, Twitter or whatever. You know, especially after Rico Dowdle having a monster the last 2 weeks. Like, dude's racked up 473 yards and 2 touchdowns the last 2 games. You know, Chuba Hubbard is supposed to be back this week, but I don't see, like, I know there's been a lot of discourse on which side you're on. I don't think Rico Dowdle, at least for this game, is going to see much work to Chuba Hubbard. Chuba Hubbard is coming off an injury, a calf injury. I don't think they're going to want to rush him right into a role. I think they're going to want to ramp him up a little bit. And the way Rico Dowdle's been playing, like, I just don't see a scenario where he doesn't. I think it's probably a 65-35 split somewhere around there. And this incredible matchup. The Jets are not great against the run. And so, like, I think you could go Chuba Hubbard at $6,800. He is a lot more expensive than what he was previously. I think he's viable. But I also think Javonte Williams is viable too at 6,700 coming off a down game as well.
Yeah, Javonte Williams is one of my favorite plays. I shouldn't say my favorite, but he's one of my favorite plays on the slate because he gives you the ability to, I mean, really soak up all of the Dallas work, so to speak, if the game breaks in that way. I mean, he's definitely live, you know, to put up 100 yards, get you a bonus. Maybe the red zone work goes to him instead of Dak passing in the way that they play. And he could be the one, you know, so we think about these totals, right? Kev, like 54.5 points or whatever it ends up closing at. And it's like, okay, like if Dallas just gets out to an early lead and the touchdowns go through Javonte, like that's how, you know, the Washington side is trying to come back into the game, not necessarily the other way around. So I absolutely love him. He just let down people the week previously, as I was alluding to. And he's definitely been, you know, kind of, I hate to say bell cow, but he's definitely, you know, seeing work as what you would expect from an RB1. And like, I do expect, like, I expect Judkins to be popular. He's only $700 more. I expect Breece Hall to be popular. He's only $400 more. He's $100 less than Rico. He just fits in a nice, like, price point spot to be forgotten about. So definitely love him as a one-off. I think for me, like, running back is very, very straightforward for me this week. I'm going to play up for Taylor where I can. I love Javonte and Quinshon Judkins the most in the mid-range. I'm going to be way lower than the field on Breece Hall with the way that this Jets offense has shown up. And Carolina's been a little bit better on defense. So I'm going to be very light on that exposure there. And I'll probably get some Kamani Vidal exposure as well too in that Chargers and Colts game. He's kind of a guy that, like, you know, in dynasty leagues and things like that, like people had pretty much written this guy off as being nothing, but it looks like he's found, you know, another spot based on the injuries that have plagued the Chargers so far to start the season. And we know how much, you know, Harbaugh entrusts in that run game. And if he's going to be the guy that they're riding at $5,500 in a game that total that's creeping up, I'm going to definitely have interest in him, but I'm probably only playing like, you know, six to seven running backs on the slate and keeping it moving.
How do you feel about, I guess, two other guys in DeAndre Swift and J.K. Dobbins? Swift obviously playing in that game against, at home against the Saints.
Yeah.
And then J.K. Dobbins at home against the Giants.
Dobbins would be the one that I would lean into a little bit more. Like I said, I was interested in playing Knicks and GPPs, but I do think this Denver offense is set, you know, for a bounce back here at home, the way they just played against the Jets on the road, overseas and on the road. But Dobbins, I think, has you know, that strong workload. I do worry, Kev, about this Bears-Saints game where, you know, the pieces are affordable. They are cheap. Swift is coming off probably his best game as a Bear, or his second best game as a Bear, if there was one better. And they could just control this game. And the way that we saw, you know, Roshan was getting touches in a competitive game. Like Kyle Manungai was getting touches in a competitive game. Okay, so what happens if like Spencer Rattler just goes out there and lays a duck? And like, not to get ahead of ourselves, but I'm interested in the Bears D. Like the Bears D is 100% live this week for me. So on that other end, like, yeah, the work could go to DeAndre Swift, but what if they start to get these other guys involved and just like call it a wrap? It's time of possession. And it worries me a little bit from that standpoint, but you know, in game environments that you feel okay about, I mean, Chris Olave is, for, you know, the seventh week in a row, I feel like going to be popular. So sure, there could be some merit there, but it does worry me a little bit. Whereas like, I feel like the Broncos with J.K. Dobbins could still lean into him more based on any type of game script. But yeah, Kev, I love your Ron J. Stevenson call too. I'm going to have to look into him because, yeah, with his snap share going up and even Vrabel talking about like how, you know, just trying to give this guy, you know, pretty much chances and wanting him to like run strong and not worry about the fumbles and just really giving him a chance to succeed, which I found surprising because I thought he'd probably be on a shorter leash with the fumble woes, but this is a new regime and sounds like Vrabel is entrusting him. And at only 5,200 in a spot where I think the Patriots can control, I think he makes for a really, really interesting GPP play this week and traveling back to Tennessee where Vrabel used to coach. So if there's revenge narrative for the coach, you know, get the ball to your guys and let them get that justification for you. You know, I can always get behind a revenge narrative. Let's talk about wide receiver, Kev, and wide receiver I feel like is really fun this week because there's a ton of guys that I feel like are strong one-off plays. Is like last week, you know, even you know, I was low on JSN. You were talking about BTJ kind of in our chat on Sunday, which was, you know, definitely a way to go with that mini stack yet again with JSN mini stacks with the other opposing receiver has been printing money so far this year. But this week, I feel like I'm going to be, you know, I'll just start it off at the bat. Like Justin Jefferson, Saquon mini, I feel like is going to be one that I definitely look into. Definitely love this matchup for Justin Jefferson, the way that the secondary has been playing for Philly, you know, all year. They got a very, very weak secondary. Don't think that they can contain a guy like Justin Jefferson, especially, well, now the caveat is I think Wentz is expected to be the quarterback, right? We're not going to get McCarthy again. So yeah, if Wentz is out there, love Jefferson. One-offs, I think, you know, the Chargers guys, I'm definitely going to be interested in. Roma Dunze at 6,600, like, I want to, you know, if I'm playing Caleb, I'm going to be playing him. But from a one-off standpoint, I think I need to see it a little bit first. But you can definitely tell, like, this dude is getting all types of reads, you know, run his way. His red zone usage is absolutely incredible. Like him and Caleb are definitely, you know, on the same page. DJ Moore is dealing with some banged up. Like if people want to play Rome as a one-off, I can't necessarily blame them there. But, you know, Well, let's talk about these other wide receivers, and then I'll get to my favorite one off this week. But, you know, Chargers guys I mentioned, like McConkey and Quentin Johnson, those are two cheap guys to be able to pair with Justin Herbert. I mean, Rashee Rice is only 5,600, won't even sell your Thundercav because, like, it's just a misprice. Dude's coming off a suspension. It's not an injury. They could just work him in right away. A.J. Brown being 5,800 is just ridiculous. I felt like the last time we talked about a cheap A.J. Brown was when he was like 6,300, and he just went out and put up 25.9 DK points. And like, this could be another spot here in this Minnesota game where he can go absolutely nuclear at that price tag. Cortland Sutton being only 5,902 is really interesting, really enticing. The way that he has rapport with Bo Nix, that's what kind of got me onto Bo Nix a little bit as a play. This New Orleans thing is just kind of getting annoying to me. You know, Chris Olave, every week he's popular. Every week, you know, projections and optimizers are going to, you know, spit out this guy. And, you know, I think he has a really solid floor. I mean, we see it in the production and then the box scores. He's going to be a real good cash game play. I just am not interested in playing him as a one-off in GPPs. You know, he's more of a play in games where you're stacking the environment, where you can unlock that full potential. But yeah, if you want 15 DK points, then go ahead and go back to the Chris Olave well, if you so please. I will have some interest, granted that he's able to play in Marvin Harrison at only 5,300. He's, you know, it was in concussion protocol. I think he got a limited practice in today as of Thursday. If he's out there, I think that gives another weapon to Jacoby Brissett that I'm interested to see how he's utilized. And then before I toss it to you, Kev, my favorite one-off play, maybe not my favorite one-off play, but one that I'm really toying around with right now is Luther Burden at 4,300 in this Bears-New Orleans game. I really think that they want to try and get this guy going. We saw it like after the bye, him getting, you know, worked looks, whether it be, you know, receiving. They didn't really give him a rush, so to speak, but they've used them in so many different ways, shape, or form. And, you know, with my interest in the Bears defense, Kev, I think we have a potential to double dip with him returning kicks as well. I just think that he's such a Swiss Army knife. I think that they really are going to try and unlock his potential, especially with DJ Moore being out. We could see some more scheme looks go his way. And at 4,300, he opens up a lot for your roster. So I am really interested in Luther Burden this week. I'm going to toss it to you, Kev, and talk to the people about what you're doing at wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're really testing us with some of this pricing of like, what's too cheap, right? Like AJ Brown is $5,800. Like I know AJ Brown hasn't been great, but like the targets have been there 8, 10, 9, 8, 9, right? Like in last week, he's coming off a game 6 for 80 in that game. Like, and I get it. The Vikings pass defense is pretty solid. They do a really good job of getting pressure on bringing pressure, but that also leaves you susceptible to deep passes. And if you can get it off and, like, I don't know. Like, there's going to be some point where A.J. Brown has a monster game, and he's $5,800. Like, I don't know. Like, it just feels like they're like we're being tested here by DraftKings of, like, what's too cheap. Because, like, I already know, like, Rashee Rice's ownership is going to be, like, 30-plus percent probably because he's 5,600, and there's so much hype going on. Maybe that's a little hype. He's at least going to be 20-25% rostered. Because of his price, like he should have been at a $6,500 price tag at the bare minimum. I don't know why they priced him where they priced him. But he's going to be expensive, or he's going to be heavily owned. And also Quentin Johnson, like, I don't know what this dude, I know he's coming off, you know, where he didn't play the week prior, but like for the most part of this year, this dude's been phenomenal and he's still only $5,900. And so it's super cheap to be able to get to him. And so, love him. You also have, looks like Josh Downs isn't going to play at this point. I'd be shocked if he did. He picked up a concussion, kind of came out of nowhere. It wasn't really reported after the game, but I know sometimes concussions can take a little bit of time to show symptoms. I mean, I'm guessing that's what happened because it kind of came out of nowhere that he was placed in concussion protocol and he hasn't practiced Wednesday, he didn't practice Thursday, and you have to go through all the steps. Like, he's getting pretty close and not having any time to be able to do that. So I don't think he plays in that game. So I think that, you know, leaves Michael Pittman as a pretty solid play. and Michael Pittman's still cheap. And then I think you could also, yeah, Pittman's 5,100. And then from there, I think Alec Pierce becomes a little bit more interesting in that game as well. Leaves a little bit more targets for him. Tyler Warren, obviously. But, like, I think there's a lot of different ways you can attack that game. But, you know, I think as far as, like, I would love Jalen Waddle heading into this week, but now we can't because that game is basically nuked because of the weather concerns there. It's also, like, a 95% chance of rain throughout that entire game. Like, it's going to be a gross, gross game there. But, like I said, like, when it comes to the Colts wide receivers, the Colts have been terrible against opposing wide receivers, allowing the fourth most receiving yards, the seventh most touchdowns, and the fourth most DK points to wide receivers. And so I just think Quentin Johnson's a phenomenal play at his cost at 5,900. If Marvin Harrison doesn't play, which I'm starting to think he probably will, considering he got a limited practice today, I think tomorrow he has to get in a full practice to be cleared from concussion protocol. But if he doesn't, Zay Jones, I think, at least would have been interesting. He saw 8 targets last week, 5 for 79 last week against the Colts. But I think he at least would have been in play. But if Marvin Harrison's back, I have no interest in Zay Jones. And Kyler Murray has been practicing on the side. He hasn't actually been taking first-team reps. The Cardinals, I believe, are on bye next week. I would be surprised if Kyler Murray played this game. I do think it's going to be Jacoby Brissett. And I actually think it's better for the passing attack. Like it's. I don't think it's necessarily a coincidence that I think it kind of shows the limitations of Kyler Murray as a quarterback, at least as a thrower, because we had Jacoby Brissett come out and throw 320, which I think Kyler Murray's only done like twice or three times in his entire career, and he comes out and does it, you know, his first game, and so like I would have had interest there, but I don't think Kyler Murray plays. So I think that's at least, you know, good for somebody else we'll talk about, you know, over on the, once we get to tight ends. But so for me, I think when it comes to the pay-up options, like I no problem with Justin Jefferson. CeeDee Lamb is obviously a great play at 7,500. And then I think from there, I think really deciding what you want to do with the Commanders wide receivers, if you're game stacking that. I know Deebo Samuel did not practice today again. Which is pretty much what he did last week. I think they're just trying to get him through to game to be able to play. I think they're just going to give him all this time off. But also, Terry McLaurin didn't practice either. Was a non-participant. So he may not even play in that game either. So that's going to be something we're going to have to monitor for that. But honestly, I'm playing A.J. Brown. I'm going to do it. I'm going to play him. Fuck it. He's $5,800. Like, I just don't like – like I said, I think a big game is coming. A spike week is coming for him. And at $5,800, I'll pay the price to find out.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I mean, the Philly offense is just so capable of putting up break the slate scores. And why would we be surprised? Because they need a win. And we know that they're capable of doing this. Kev, before we pass it along, with you being interested in Herbert, rank the Chargers wide receivers for me that you're playing with him.
I think it would be Quentin Johnson one easily for me. And then I think it would be Ladd two and then Keenan Allen three. But it's really close between Ladd and Keenan. Like I could go either way on that. But it's definitely Quentin Johnson for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I think QJ would be my. I have it how you had it originally: QJ, then Ladd, then Keenan. But yeah, I could definitely. You know, I always get it wrong between Keenan and Ladd, so it probably will be Keenan. But yeah, that's of interest to me. And then I think I got to monitor this Cleveland situation as well, because if I'm going to be playing Dylan Gabriel, I would like to have Jerry Jeudy out there, even though this dude can just not catch a football to save his life. But you know, he does have such explosive playability that at 4,400, I think he opens up a lot if I'm going to be doing that. So monitoring that, But you know, maybe we have the answer at tight end. Let's move to tight end, Kev, and talk about that. And as ugly as it's been for the past couple of weeks that we've been doing these breakdowns, I think there's a lot of interest here at the tight end position. You know, with Trey McBride at the top, I'll let you wax poetic on him. He's 5,700. I expect him to be extremely popular this week based on, you know, the situation at hand with the not only the injuries, but who the quarterback is and just how heavily, you know, involved he was last week with Jacoby Brissett. And you know, 5,700, we got to start treating Trey McBride like a wide receiver if he's going to see usage like this. And at 5,700, you compare him to the wide receivers who are priced there. Let's take AJ Brown out of the equation, but like Jacoby Myers and Devonta Smith and Terry McLaurin and Stephon Diggs, you know, I feel comfortable playing him in that realm of where those guys are. So Trey McBride is, you know, head and shoulders, you know, it makes so much sense paying up for him at tight end. You know, Tyler Warren, I think will pop off for some people as well too, with the way he's been utilized in this offense. You really love to see that. And then Harold Fannin Jr., you know, he's all the way down at 3,900, but with Njoku banged up and, you know, likely going to miss with him not practicing this week due to that knee injury, we really could see Harold Fannin's ownership skyrocket at only 3,900, you know, away from even with the weather, Kev. Even with the weather, I think at 3,900 with the pieces that could be missing, if it's no Njoku, no Judy, he's still going to, you know, garner ownership, and I think rightfully so. And then Michael Mayer, you know, will be in the mix at 3,500 there with Brock Bowers. If he's expected to mix again, which I believe that is true, Michael Mayer is definitely going to garner some interest from people on that side. Now, before I toss it to you, Kev, I will say a tight end that I am interested in on the other side of Trey McBride, it is Tucker Kraft. You know, this guy has really, you know, had a strong start to the season, even with him, you know, just, you know, you're going to look at after the bye and, you know, only two catches there, but was able to find that end zone. And he's just been, you know, a go-to target. If we can if we can get somewhat of a competitive showing out of Arizona here to keep them pushing the pace, you know, I think that Tucker Kraft makes for a fine option at, you know, 4,900, I think that he'll go overlooked and people won't get to him. You know, he's priced just around Travis Kelce with name value, right above, you know, Tyler Warren and only a couple hundred more people will get to McBride. I think Kraft could get forgotten about and that might be a mistake. Kev, what are you doing at tight end this weekend? What do you like?
Yeah, so I think there's a couple ways, right? Like, first, you're already talking, I mean, Trey McBride is just seeing incredible usage every single game. I mean, just 11, 7, 11, 8, 7, 9 targets every game. And he scored a touchdown last week, which is rare for him. But, you know, when you have a quarterback that's, you know, above 6 foot tall that can actually see over the line, over their offensive line, you know, it makes it a little bit easier once you get down inside the red zone to be able to find your tight end. And so, but 5,700, great schematic matchup. The Packers, one area they do struggle at is against tight ends. They allow the third most DK points. So I think it's a really good spot for Trey McBride. I'm not as excited with Jake Ferguson. Like, I think he's playable, but with him being 5,500, being the second most expensive tight end on the slate, I think with CeeDee Lamb back, like, I just don't have as much interest in him with CeeDee Lamb back. So I probably pass on that. Tyler Warren, obviously. But in terms of some, like, cheaper plays, like some guys that are less obvious, I think it starts for me with Mason Taylor. Like, this is a really good matchup. Obviously, last week, you know, the Justin Fields only threw the ball 17 times, only completed the ball, only had 9 completions. It was just completely abysmal. But Garrett Wilson's going to miss this game. He's not going to be playing. So it really is going to leave Mason Taylor, who's already been seeing a really solid role within the offense. He's top 12 among all tight ends and targets. He's fourth in routes run. Like, there's a lot to like, and the Panthers have been awful against tight ends. They've allowed the most receiving yards, the seventh most touchdowns, and the second most DraftKings points to tight ends. And so, and Mason Taylor is only 3,400. And so it's just, he's way too cheap for this role that he's about to, incredible role he's already had, which is only going to get better. Like, it's definitely possible if, you know, as long as, you know, the Jets throw the ball more than 17 times, that he sees probably 10 targets. Like, I think it's well within the range of possibility. I think a couple other guys, Chigakonkwo, this is a good matchup here. The Patriots allow the sixth most DK points to tight end. And, you know, last week, He was targeted 6 times. Like, he's not someone that's going to see like a heavy workload, but I think he's good enough. If you wanted to play him there, like a mini with Ramondre and Chigakonkwo, you could do that. I think Aronde Gaston, who was targeted 8 times last week, and even with Will Dissly back, he ran by far the most routes within the offense. I know Quentin Johnson is back, but still, $3,300 Aronde Gaston, I think you could look there as another option at tight end. So I think as far as cheaper options are concerned, I think those are the guys I want. I completely would have agreed with you on Harold Fannin. Like, he was going to be one of my top probably owned plays of the entire slate. But like I said, I just can't anymore with this weather. I just can't play anybody from this game outside of the running backs. But last week, Fannin did run 42 routes, which is easily the most he's run in a game all year. And then obviously with Njoku out, but and also schematically, it was an awesome matchup. Dolphins allow the 9th most receptions, 3rd most receiving yards, 7th most touchdowns, and the 8th most DK points to the position. So, like, Harold Fannin was set up to be a slam dunk play, and now, like, I just don't really have a lot of interest because of this weather that they're showing. Now, if it changes, then I will be loading up on Harold Fannin at $3,900 because I think it's an incredible spot for him. But overall, I think if I'm going to pay up, it's going to be Trey McBride or Tyler Warren, and I don't mind Tucker Kraft either. And then yeah. I think paying down, it would be Mason Taylor for sure, as I'm going to have the most interest in. And then I, you know, if I'm in a game stack of like the Chargers, I don't mind Aronde Gaston. And I do want to mention Dallas Goedert too. Like, I feel like he's flown under the radar this year. Like, there has been a lot of conversation around him, and he scored a touchdown now in 4 straight games. He's coming off the last 2 games, seeing 9 and 11 targets, and against a defense that's going to be bringing a lot of pressure. Dallas Goedert appears to be like the safety valve for Jalen Hurts. So it wouldn't surprise me if he saw another, you know, 8, 9 targets in this game. And so he is a little bit more expensive at 4,500, but still with the usage he's seeing, like, he's in play too.
Yeah, great call out there from Dallas Goedert there. He's definitely carved a role. And if I play Jalen Hurts, I'm definitely going to be having him on stacks because I love to target that tight end that's tied to the quarterback. So solid call out there, Kev. Let's talk defense for the people as we get to wrap up the Week 7 picks for the DJ Nation podcast, powered by the Fantasy Authority. Appreciate everybody who's been rocking along with us tonight, rocking along with us all season long. 7 weeks in the books almost, and it's crazy how fast the year flies by, the season flies by. But we're out here to get this money, and we're all in it together. So we appreciate the DGEN Nation fam staying strong. Kev, as we talk about defense for Week 7, you know, a lot of interesting places to go. I feel like a lot of ones that stick out to the page, especially in that mid 3K range. Like, I'm not sure, we've been paying down a lot of defense so far this year, and I'm not sure I'll necessarily get there just with the way that some of these defensive spots kind of shape up. I mean, I think the Eagles are in a solid spot at 3,200. The Patriots are in a real solid spot at 3,400. Even the Broncos at 3,500. Like, you know, and the Bears are 3,100. Like, you know, 3K range is really jumping off the page for me this week. I'm not sure. You know, I'll start building and see where I am. If I did have to play a cheap defense, ironically, I'd probably lean into Arizona at home with this Green Bay team. You know, I think Jordan Love, we've seen him apt to make mistakes a time or two. And maybe if they can contain Josh Jacobs, as tough of a task that is, but they are playing at home, crowd could do something for them. 2,100, I maybe could talk myself into that. But what are you doing with defense this week, and where are you going?
I'm going to be loading up on the Carolina Panthers. $2,500 defense, but really, really good spot here. The Jets are allowing the highest pressure rate in the league and tied with the Titans and allowing 4.2 sacks per game. Turnovers have also been an issue for Justin Fields and the Jets. They've already turned the ball over 8 times, which is the 8th highest in the league as well. And the Jets are allowing the 5th most DK points to opposing defenses this year. So I just think the Panthers at $2,500, really good spot here. And honestly, really what the Jets want to do is run the ball, and you can't. I guess It's crazy because the Panthers last year were like, every week we're targeting the Panthers defense running backs. That is not the case this year with the Panthers. The Panthers have done a really good job of shutting down opposing running backs. They shut down Devon Achane. They shut down Javonte Williams last week. Like, you have not been able to run against this defense. Like, that is something that they've done a very good job at. And so if you're forcing them to drop back a lot with Justin Fields, then that's going to set up really well. And like I said, they've already turned the ball over 8 times. Like, there's a lot to like here with the Panthers at $2,500. So I'm going to be playing a lot of them. They're going to be pretty quick for me just to throw them into any pool. The other one maybe would be like the Giants at $2,200. I know it's on the road, but I mean, the Giants front four is phenomenal. Like getting pressure. And honestly, the Broncos offense has been trash this year. Like, the Broncos offense has not been good at all for the most part this year. And so, like, it really wouldn't surprise me if they were able to get pressure on him and, you know, force Bo Nix to make some mistakes. And so, I mean, the Giants are $2,200. I know everybody wants to play, you know, or people want to pay up and just play the Broncos defense, but which I don't mind. But I mean, I've always tried to look to pay down at defense if I can, because just the savings that I can get for the rest of my lineup for the players that I want to play on most weeks. And so I think the Panthers and then probably the Jets or the Giants, that I could look at. Like, originally, I think the Dolphins would have been in play too against the Browns, because the Browns have also really struggled. Their offensive line's not very good. They're allowing over 3 sacks per game, which is top 10. They've also turned the ball over the 8th most times as well. And the one thing the Dolphins have done is getting to the quarterback, as they have their top 15 in the league in sacks. They have the 3rd highest blitz rate in the league as well. And the Browns have allowed the 4th most DK points to opposing defenses this year. So, like, there's something to like with the Dolphins. But again, with this weather, like, they're not going to be throwing the ball. And so it just kind of takes them out for me as a play that I would want to play. So for me, I think it's going to be the Panthers. I think I might sprinkle in some Giants.
Yeah, fair on the Panthers call. Like that one a ton if we have to pay down. So definitely one to keep in mind for cheap defense. Kev, what say you? What do we build a Millie Maker lineup for the people? Try and get back into, you know, solid win column. Not as good of a slate for us last week as it was in the previous couple weeks, but you know, it's a week by week basis. You know, we can't win them all, but this is the week. This is the week where we ship the 2.75 mil, Kev, on DraftKings. There only got to beat out 161,763 entries. No big deal. Kev, let's start it off. And what say you? You want to start off, kick off the team? Where are we going?
Well, we talked about it. I'm just gonna do it. Let's go Justin Herbert.
All right. We're gonna throw Quentin Johnson in there.
Let's try this, see if we can do it. Let's go Jonathan Taylor.
Okay. Got to save salary somewhere. Let's go Luther Burden.
I'm just going to go ahead. Let's throw in let's just throw in the Panthers defense.
All right. We throw in the Panthers D at 2,500. That gives us 55-25 per spot. I mean, let's go ahead and do it. Let's just play Quinshon Judkins at 6K. We've been talking about him for a couple weeks. 53-66 left for a tight end, wide receiver, and a flex. Talk to me, Kev. What are you thinking?
Seeing if we can, because I definitely want some exposure to that Dallas Washington game. So I was thinking about, can we fit in CeeDee Lamb? And then that would leave us with $4,300 left over for a wide receiver and a tight end. I don't know what that feels like.
I mean, I'll go Williams over Judkins if you want to get exposure to that.
So the option could go CeeDee Lamb and Zach Ertz as a little mini, and then I would leave $4,800 for a wide receiver. Or, I mean, I guess it could be a running back. You could always put receiver in the top spot, on the wide receiver spot. And then flex, we'd have $4,800 left over.
I mean, if we went Herbert and or I'm sorry, if we win Javonte Williams and Ertz, that's 5,800 for a wide receiver and flex. So, I mean, and that's with taking Judkins out. So, I mean, you put Judkins in, that's 5,600 for a wide receiver spot. Or you don't even have to play Judkins. You could just cross off that game, say it's ugly. Because realistically, if CeeDee's going out there and balling, then I'd rather play Dak and say we could do QJ as a one-off.
Yeah, I'm fine. If we want to do Javonte, let's see what that looks like.
I mean, we could put in McConkey, or we could say, I mean, I think we both like McConkey second, but if we do Keenan, let's see what. So Keenan gives us 6,100, and McConkey gives us 5,600 for the flex. So it's like Keenan and Judkins, or McConkey and who's 5,600. Could have got close to AJ Brown. I mean, that's Rashee Rice.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I guess we could do Rashee Rice and McConkey, or if we wanted to, we could drop down from the Panthers, I guess, down to like the Giants or something like that and do AJ Brown. Doesn't really matter.
What do you think?
Let's do McConkey and Rice.
McConkey and Rice? All right, let's do it. Those are the plays that we feel comfortable with. I do think it's interesting, though, to say, you know, just play Giants and then get A.J. Brown, you know, one-off. He does everything in that game off of what could be a semi-popular Rashee Rice. But this team is kind of unique in and of itself with the Herbert double stack. I don't know if we need to do that. So we got Justin Herbert. Double stack with Quentin Johnson and Ladd McConkey, Jonathan Taylor, Javonte Williams are our running backs, Luther Burden in the wide receiver spot, Rashee Rice in the flex, Zach Ertz in the tight end, and Panthers D. No salary remaining left on the table, and we entered that in for this week 7 Millie Maker lineup for the DJ Nation podcast powered by the Fantasy Authority. And that's going to do it. Kev, how you feeling? Any final words for the people as we wrap up the week 7 pod here?
No, I think it's a really fun slate. I think there's a couple different ways to go to get a little bit different, but I think this is one of them. Going and stacking up this, the Colts and Chargers game, I think has the definite potential to be to outscore this other game. So, I know all the ownership's going to come in on this game, and all the as where everyone's going to want to go. I think just getting a little bit different, still being able to get some exposure to that game, I think could pay off.
Absolutely, yeah. We're in for a treat, I feel like, with this one. So the slate's going to be interesting. You definitely want to monitor a lot going into the weekend, going into Saturday night, Sunday morning, with the reports, because we do have some injuries that could really, you know, shape the slate, and I guess weather even that could shape the slate as we get into that part of the season. We're 7 weeks almost in. It's crazy to think about, but this is fun. This is where the fun starts to happen, and definitely, you know, this is where GPP starts to get interesting too, because you start to see a lot of the chalk get even chalkier, and a lot of more assurances being made by players. So this is a fun week to really try and see if you have an edge, test your edges, take some chances in the GPP lineups that you're in, or GPP contest that you're in, because that's what we do here at the DJ Nation podcast. We really talk about GPPs. We don't really talk about cash here. So there's plenty of podcasts out there that talk about cash for you, but we like to take those swings and hit big when we can. So DJ Nation fam, we're going to be signing off for the week 7 picks. Again, DJ Nation podcast powered by the Fantasy Authority. You can follow the Fantasy Authority on Twitter and X at @FF_authority. Don't forget, link to the Discord is in the description if you're watching this on YouTube. If not, go over to the YouTube channel and get that. Otherwise, you can hit up the Fantasy Authority, of course, as always, and we'll get you set up there. For Kevin Steele at Fantasy Raf 13, the godfather himself, signing off. Fantasy Raf 13 is where you can find him on Twitter and X. I'm Ryan Williams. You can find me on Twitter and X at @RyanAlexander_W. We'll catch you guys for the week 8 breakdown on DraftKings for the DFS picks. Until then, you guys already know what to do. Get this money. We'll catch you. Peace. You know who you're talking to. Well, you better get used to the way the war bounces. I see what you got in measures and ounces. But that's a great boy. You're a big man. I'll treat you like you're a little man.